I suppose my recollections of this area go back primarily 25 years. Although before that, when I was working my way through college, I passed through Dipper Harbor selling Bibles. And at least saw the insides of the houses and talked with some of the people, whom I, of course, have become much better acquainted with since that time. The villages 25 years ago were, I think, much more clearly defined as fishing villages, fishing communities. Very few of the people found work elsewhere. Of course, in the winter at that time, I suppose, the men still went to the winter port because the fishing stopped essentially at that time. And some still do. There was, I think, no commuter community at that time. People lived here and worked here. There were, of course, some people who returned in the summer, and there was a very small summer community based on relationship, and perhaps in some instances, as in my case, on a wish to enjoy this particular part of the world, its magnificent scenery, the quiet life of the villages, the pleasant people, and the general removal of all these things from the kind of world that we now speak of in talking of the big cities and development with a capital D. My wish has never been to be developed. I want to be undeveloped or a-developed so that when my wife and I were looking for a place for the summer, although I had been brought up in a summer cottage on the St. John River and enjoyed it, liked it very much there, we both agreed that the Fundy Shore had an attraction that appealed to both of us. In looking around the shore from St. Martin's west, we came on Dipper Harbor and discovered that there was a camp which was available for the summer, and there we stayed for some, I suppose, 5 years or so, and enjoyed it very much. It was a simple camp, just on the edge of the village, overlooking the harbor, and we were happy to find that the village was a friendly one, and we were sometimes embarrassed by the helpfulness of people. Everybody lends a hand when there's something to be done. However, after some years, it seemed to us that we should look for a place more permanent than this camp, and somewhat more comfortable perhaps. And that we found in an old house, 100 years old, at Welsh Cove on Point Poprow. And to our surprise, really, and certainly our delight, it was possible to buy land there. And the old house, the old barn, both of which were essential wrecks, they were rebuilt, and we've lived there in the summer since. And now that I've retired, the summer season extended at both ends for us. Now this is our place in this physical community, and it was into this kind of a view of things that the news came that Point Poprow was being considered as a site for a nuclear plant. Actually, my first awareness that this might be a possibility was in discovering a survey team in the lighthouse land, taking core samples of the rock. And perhaps a little conversation I had with some of the men working there, will illustrate the sort of secrecy, the sort of guardedness, of unwillingness to communicate was to characterize the operations of the Power Commission from that time on. I asked what the project was, and I was told that they were making a mineral survey of the maritime provinces. And I said, have you made any surveys of other places around New Brunswick? Well, yes, there are other surveys going. I said, what do you do with those core samples? Well, we send them to Fredericton for analysis for minerals. And I said, after you discover that each one of these core samples is Triassic sandstone, how many more do you plan to take in order to find there are no minerals? Well, at that point, one of the young fellows broke down and said, well, he said, really, I think this is taking samples of the bedrock with the prospect of putting a nuclear plant here. He said, I have not been told this, but I think this is something like this is afoot. So that was my earliest information, that something was afoot. Some months after this, in fact, it was, I think, nearly a year after this, there's more specific news. La Pro was being considered, along with other sites on the Fundy Shore and the North Shore. And a good deal of talk developed in the community. It was decided that if we were to come to any sort of conclusions about what was going on and what it would mean to us, we should be better informed. And so a number of people in the villages organized a public meeting and invited to the meeting Mr. Ryder, who was the engineer in charge of nuclear development for the Power Commission, our local MLAs. None of the MLAs showed up, and in fact, to our surprise, when we went into the hall the evening for the meeting, Mr. Ryder didn't show up either, but he sent a substitute, Mr. Jeffries, who was not a nuclear engineer. Of course, Mr. Ryder wasn't either. But Mr. Jeffries was simply a plant maintenance engineer, I believe. And to our consternation, he took over the meeting, showing us a film that might be suitable for grade 7 students in school, describing the wonders of nuclear fission. And this became obviously very trying for the audience. We were there to ask questions and find out about things, not to get a very superficial introduction to a process that we weren't very interested in understanding anyway. In fact, as this dragged on and on, the chairman of the meeting asked Mr. Jeffries if he could stop showing us the movie because we weren't interested and give us an opportunity to ask questions. However, he went through to the bitter end and showed the movie, possibly because he didn't feel particularly competent to answer any questions, as was certainly revealed at the end of the evening. He was not prepared to give us any information of any value, although he gave us a great deal of information which proved to be incorrect and misleading. He made many promises, some of them of wonders that we didn't wish to see happen, such as that these villages would become a suburban community with street lights, paved streets, bar and grills, and all the rest of it. He thought this would appeal to us. It didn't. In fact, there were some very loud shouts of dismay when he broached these coming wonders. At that meeting, a good many questions were asked, and no satisfactory answers were given, or very few. However, it is interesting that one of the the most important problems that we were to face and still do face was broached at the meeting, and that was the impact of this development on the social life of the communities. What studies had been made, what studies would be made, what participation would the community have in coming to decisions on the shape of things to come. This, of course, is at the very core of the community's interest in any such development. The answers were that there had not been any social impact study made, that as these studies of various kinds, environmental impact studies, progressed, we would be informed. When asked if these studies were yet completed, we were told they were not, and they might be completed in a year's time. And when asked how adequate their decisions were made before these studies were concluded, Mr. Jeffries had no answer. He'd given us to understand there were great stacks of studies already prepared. He used the word great stacks. We saw none of them, and we finally came to the knowledge that there were no such things at all. The studies were only beginning. The problems in a fishing community in facing such a development as this are very complex. The fishermen were interested in many different aspects of effect of thermal pollution in the bay, the possible effects of contamination with radiant particles in the effluent of the plant. These questions might change their whole future, or the answers to these questions. No answers were forthcoming, no studies had been made, and so the community was left at a loss, really, to know what dangers might be facing it. Shortly after this, the Power Commission invited people whom they called representative members of the communities and others to make an expedition to the Ontario Hydro plant at Pickering, which would be very similar to the plans for the Lepreau plant. There were several such expeditions, two at least, involving people from the community. And it's difficult to say just how representative the members of these groups actually were. Some people in the community refused the invitation to go on the grounds that they had no technical expertise and could not possibly gain any significant information by going to on such a junket. They felt that they would be simply used, in effect. They would have no grounds for asking significant questions, no way of evaluating the information that came to them. And they considered, therefore, a waste of their time and perhaps misleading to the community they were to participate. Others felt, and very legitimately some of them, that they could gain some information, and that if we were completely in the dark about what these plants were like, we weren't in a position to make good decisions. In any case, the only important outcome of this invitation was the appearance of a citizens' committee, so-called. The Power Commission approached two members of the groups that went to Pickering and said that they wished to have a community committee with whom they could discuss the development of solutions of problems as they came up. And so they selected two people to, they strongly suggested that two people whom they approached should undertake this, and they did. This committee had a rather mixed history. They called a public meeting. Two men did. And as an outcome of this meeting, one of them was appointed chairman of a citizens' committee. And representatives were to be placed on the committee from the three communities. The charge was to look after the interests of the community in this period of change and development, to represent its view in the considerations that would occur. The committee met very seldom as a group, and apparently most of its work was done informally in consultation, often by telephone, with representatives of the Power Commission. Most of it was done by such contacts made to the chairman of the committee alone. Perhaps one or two other people on the committee were more or less active in discussing these things with the chairman, but there were very few committee meetings, formal committee meetings, and no public meetings to hear a report of the committee. And, well, I'm wrong, no public meetings. There were two or three public meetings. But they were, I think, essentially concerned with general problems, such as the problem of zoning. And the committee was instructed by the meeting to produce a zoning plan for consideration. But in any case, whatever transpired in the relationships between the community and the Power Commission via this committee, progress did not seem to be at all rapid, or even in the minds of some of the citizens, likely. So, as a attempt to speed matters up and present perhaps a more determined front for the community, a group came together of concerned citizens. Now, this was not a group with any formal organization or authority. It did not claim to represent anybody but themselves. And its sole interest was to try to arrange some sort of a more effective communication with the Power Commission, between the Power Commission and the community at large. The concerned citizens talked over some of the problems as they saw them in the community. They got in contact with the members of the Citizens Committee and made inquiries about their activities in these areas. And finally, at a meeting 1 year after the organization of the original committee, proposed a slate of candidates at a public meeting for reorganization of the affairs of the community in the coming year. And these proposals passed the public meeting by a large majority. New members appeared on the committee. And from that time, a very considerable amount of activity occurred. A considerable amount of activity in the sense that proposals were made and attempts to arrange discussions with the officials of the Power Commission and with the government. For the most part, these attempts either were rebuffed or came to very little. At no time was Mr. O'Connor, the general manager of the Power Commission, willing even to talk to the Citizens Committee. He suggested that other less responsible officials of the Power Commission might meet with the committee. On one occasion, Mr. Stairs, the chairman of the Power Commission, in that office, of course, a member of the provincial government, met with the chairman and another member of the newly constituted Citizens Committee, to discuss in an open and frank way some of the problems facing the community. The meeting was arranged not as a protest meeting, but as a meeting to improve communication, which we felt in the community to have reached a very unsatisfactory level. This meeting seemed to be a very successful one, and both Mr. Stairs and the chairman of the Citizens Committee felt that groundwork had been laid for a much better understanding. Mr. Stairs said that he would present some of the views that have been brought to him by the committee to the Power Commission. And after that, he hoped and expected that we would have another meeting and make progress on the details of working out new arrangements. Now, these new arrangements centered largely on the impact on the community of plant workers and the infiltration of the community. I don't use this word in a bad sense necessarily, infiltration of the community by the permanent workers of the plant who would might want to establish their residence in the area. Mr. Stairs said, in fact, that he thought that the ideas that we had brought to him of having a study made of the impact of these new people and recommendations for the most desirable way of absorbing them in the surrounding area, that these were reasonable and sensible. And he was perhaps a little surprised that the committee did not go to him in a belligerent mood. However, the promised second meeting never occurred, and the Power Commission simply formally rebuffed in a letter the committee's proposal to take part in the discussion of these social problems. They said that they had made their own determination and that they had no intention whatsoever of changing it. They did not wish to discuss it, but that if the Citizens Committee had some other problems which they wished to discuss with officials of the Power Commission, they were always ready to listen. Certainly the feeling of a great many people in the communities has been that the Power Commission has made every attempt to keep its problems and its working out of problems very much close to the chest, a policy of secrecy until their plans are completely formulated and determined so that they are in effect unchangeable. So secrecy and, well, another word perhaps, evasiveness, and even perhaps a sense in the community that deliberate misrepresentations are made repeatedly to the community about the course of events. For instance, all of Mr. Jeffrey's fine promises in the beginning were, of course, turned out to be without any authority and never came to anything. A question that has come up time and again from the very beginning of the problem of facing a nuclear plant in this area is to engage the citizens in an active expression of their views. There have been public meetings that have been very well attended, meetings which were perhaps directed to some particular problem that was within the grasp of the community, problem that the community felt they were in a position to be informed on and make decisions about. But the overall problem of the the technical dangers of a nuclear plant and the possible effects of a high technology industry with its high technology employees, the permanent staff of the plant, the effect of this on the structure of community life is very difficult for people in this sort of a social organization to grasp. Perhaps it's as well to recall that the fishing communities involved in being neighbors to the plant which is building have always been conservative in their outlook. They have, of course, had political opinions that differed. Some are liberals, some conservatives. I think very few, if any, belong to any other party. And here is a rather odd consequence that in the beginning and still continuing today, some people regard the attitude to the plant as a political question. Since it was built and supported by a conservative government, they feel that they should support it. They'd be disloyal to their party if they criticize such a project. They speak of those who are opposed to the plant as politically motivated. They say, well, of course you'd expect the liberals to oppose it because it was Hatfield's idea. And the liberals on their side have sometimes felt that this is a way of attacking the conservative government. This is a question then of party politics. And there's nothing strange about this because, after all, this is the essence of politics, to become involved in issues. But it has obscured the realities of the community problem. It is not a question of whether a road will be built or some public facility constructed by the government or not constructed. The community then is not one that is prepared to engage in a kind of agitation which is sometimes found in larger centers. It would be quite wrong to suppose that anybody could lead this community in a march to sit down at the access of the nuclear plant and demand that the consideration be given to community views until they disperse. The public reaction which stopped the proposed airport near Toronto is, I think, inconceivable in communities such as these Fundy villages. To think that they could be expected, to expect that they could do this sort of thing, is to expect something which runs counter to all knowledge of attitudes of people in these fishing villages. However, there have been a good many attempts to develop a community attitude and to seek to have this made public through the media. Letters to the local press have outlined the main problems of community concern. That there has not been a flood of letters is perhaps to be accounted for by the fact that the populations involved are very small. And most of the people living in the villages do not regard themselves as adept in putting their ideas into formal words for publication. Moreover, they would regard themselves as perhaps presumptuous in trying to decide matters of such great technical intricacy as the advantages and dangers of nuclear power. So a kind of very understandable timidity characterizes the behavior of a great many of these people. The more active, and perhaps it's fair to say, the more aggressive people in the community who have tried to arrive at a clearer understanding of the consequences of these developments, has from time to time been invited to be interviewed by both radio and television. And again, by these avenues to tell the public at large that the communities are not simply regardless of the future that is developing for them. There's also been active participation between people in the community and the local Citizens Against Nuclear Energy in New Brunswick. There's also been contact made with other organizations through the Maritime Coalition. And beyond that again, to the Canadian Nuclear Association activities. Sociologists have said that in matters of this kind, if 5% of the residents of an area take some active part in a program of support or a program that seeks to further inquiries, that this is a normal expectation, 5% of the resident population, that is, of the resident adult population. We are then not facing a matter such as a project to put a superhighway through, although we have our problems of access roads. We're not facing a situation where people are asked to decide whether to pay more taxes in order to improve their water supply. We're not facing problems which are within the grasp of ordinary people. We're faced with an extraordinarily complex set of problems wished on the community with no benefits to the community that are at all significant. And in many cases, problems which the Power Commission has not wished to face itself or to help with, which are simply dumped in the lap of the community, and the community is asked to make up its mind what to do about them. The rebuffs which have come again and again from the political leaders of the province and from the higher echelons of the Power Commission have been most discouraging. In the few instances where the Power Commission has been led to discuss important problems with the community, for instance, the location of a barge landing site to bring the larger elements of the reactor ashore, the participation of the community of fishermen with the professional engineers and officers of the Power Commission has been very constructive and recognized as such by all hands. The community has got something to give. And it has demonstrated this when any opportunity at all has occurred to express it. One of the frustrations that the community has felt is that it has been at first denied access to the environmental reports prepared by the McLaren organization for the evaluation of the project by the government and by the Power Commission. After a very considerable struggle, some of these documents have been opened to the community. And the community has discovered in some important instances that the recommendations of the McLaren Associates have not been followed by the Power Commission as they have proceeded with their development. Moreover, information has come from political circles in Fredericton that the Power Commission has altered the reports of their consultants to eliminate possibilities that they do not wish to consider. The full report then is not available to the public or to anyone else because of this practice of editing out alternatives which the Power Commission does not approve of. So the community has been under enormous obstacles in trying to get simply the information that should be available before decisions are taken in this very complex matter. To accuse the community of being indifferent, therefore, is not fair. And any such accusation must show a lack of recognition of the realities of social life and of the tremendous forces of government and technology which operate in such affairs as this to prevent even a discussion, much less a deliberate plan of action on the part of the communities to serve its own interests.